From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois recently crossed a milestone in terms of the coronavirus pandemic, more than 1 million cases with 18,000 deaths. And yet, with numbers moving in the right direction, the administration of Governor J.B. Pritzker is easing restrictions in more regions of the state, in some places allowing for indoor dining. But the threat is still out there. Later this hour, we'll talk about what you can do to prepare for the possibility you might get COVID and how to survive it with the author of a new book called The COVID-19 Survival Guide. But first, you might have heard about a change in leadership in the Illinois General Assembly last week as House Speaker Michael Madigan was, for the first time in four decades, supplanted as leader of the Democrats in the state House of Representatives. But that was not the only change among the so-called four tops in Springfield. The Senate Republican Caucus also has a new leader, State Senator Dan McConkie from Hawthorne Woods in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. Leaders in Springfield are not known for a high rate of turnover, but McConkie is the Senate Republicans' third leader in just a few years, and he joins me now. Leader McConkie, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Good to be on with you today, Brian.
So I want to begin where so many of my conversations have this year, and that's with the coronavirus pandemic. Can you just reflect, how is Illinois doing? How are Illinoisans doing in responding to the pandemic?
Well, you know, people have really stepped up to do what it is that they can. You know, I can't applaud our frontline workers enough, you know, and even our small businesses who were forced to close early on, how they really did their best to pitch in and to do what they could in order to help people out, whether it be people who are stuck at home and shut in, whether it be, you know, a distillery in the town next door to me that, you know, created, you know, was making hand sanitizer, you know, for our first responders who couldn't do that. You know, people have really stepped up, but you know what, it has been a long year. It has been very difficult. You know, a few weeks ago, I ran a drive-through flu clinic, flu shot clinic in my district, and I had people who were coming through who had not left their house since March because of comorbidities, because of, you know, risks of the virus to their own health. And so, you know, it is really, I think, wearing on people and getting to the point that people are ready for this vaccine to be rolled out and to move on.
There's been a lot of critique of the Pritzker administration, a lot of it around the margins. Maybe this business should not be open, this one should, that, you know, that sort of thing. Do you think overall, how is the governor doing in terms of his response to the pandemic?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that he has taken a go-it-alone approach. You know, one of the real benefits to democracy is just how many voices are around the governing table. And unfortunately, since March, the governor has decided on a go-it-alone approach, ignoring the General Assembly, which is a co-equal branch of government. And, you know, yeah, he'll take calls once in a while from members of the legislature, but he issues emergency declaration after emergency declaration, sometimes with things that are a part of those declarations that just don't make sense to a lot of people, didn't fit the state well as a whole, maybe would fit one area, but not another. And I think that had he brought in the legislature as a co-equal partner early in the process, he would have been able just to make better decisions and have better buy-in on behalf of both the legislators as their, you know, as and the public, because their elected officials were at the table. You know, I've told the governor that, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, he is continuing to kind of ride this out on his own. And so at the end of the day, you know, what people think went well or not rests entirely upon his shoulders.
Is that more on the governor, though, or Senate President Don Harmon and former House Speaker Madigan? I mean, the legislature didn't meet from May through last week or a week and a half ago at this point in January.
Well, so the issue really is with the law, okay? So the law allows the governor to issue 30-day emergency declarations in an ongoing or continual basis on his own without any sort of oversight or check. I actually wrote back in April an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal talking about how the legislatures needed to be a part of this process, as they are in many states. So in a lot of states, you'll have a situation in which the governor will issue a emergency proclamation. It'll last usually 30 days, but then the legislature will step in and have to approve any sort of subsequent declaration that is around the same emergency. And that is designed in order to help ensure that you've got this both of these branches of government actively involved. Illinois law does not allow for that. And so in order for the legislature to really kind of be able to insert itself, it would have either had to pass a law that then the governor would have either, signed or vetoed, or go to court, which obviously, if we've seen, there's been a number of members of the General Assembly, as well as people in the public, that have taken the governor to court over this. And I think that that has really been unfortunate because, look, nobody, I think, really disputes the fact that this has been a dangerous virus and that we needed to have a response to it. But there's a lot of people out there that simply feel like their voice has not been heard.
There's so much I want to talk to you about, but before we move on from the COVID-19 issue, I do want to ask, there was recently some news about vaccine prioritization. The State Department of Public Health says it's going to be moving the staff and inmates at jails and prisons up into phase 1B. And if people are not familiar with the numbers, that's with people aged 65 and older and frontline essential workers like grocery store clerks. What do you think of this approach?
Well, I think it's really unfortunate that the governor has not provided any mechanism whatsoever for those people under 65 who have comorbidities or are otherwise have serious health risks if they catch COVID-19 from being able to access the vaccine at all, even if a doctor insists that they really need to have that. The CDC was out this summer saying that people with comorbidities were 12 times more likely to die if they contract the virus than an otherwise healthy person. And unfortunately, what the governor has done is he's prioritized healthy prison inmates over and above these people who are at the CDC says are at great risk of dying and providing no mechanism whatsoever. The governor has said, he wants to follow the experts. I don't understand why it is that there is no opportunity for a doctor to be able to say, this patient of mine has such a they can't socially distance. Maybe they have to go back and forth to the hospital for chemo treatment or whatever. There's no opportunity for a doctor to be able to say, please, let's get this person up in line to get the virus, because if they catch it, they might otherwise die. I've spoken to the governor about that. And, his response to me was, well, this is just an issue in which we're going to disagree.
Isn't the issue, though, here that, I mean, you mentioned that people can't distance and that in prisons and jails, social distancing is all but impossible. And, the people come out of those facilities there have been studies that showed in Cook County zip codes where people were coming out of the jail, there was higher incidence of COVID-19 because that was such an epicenter, that there's maybe a public health argument for prioritizing inmates and prisoners.
Well, I am not asserting in any way that prisoners should not, be getting vaccinated. I mean, they should be getting vaccinated along with everybody else. The issue is the fact that those people who are at serious risk of death have no opportunity at all in any way, shape, or form to be able to access the vaccine under the governor's current regime.
Okay. I want to reintroduce you. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. I'm speaking with Illinois Senate Minority Leader Dan McConkie. He's a Republican from Hawthorne Woods, was recently elected to succeed Senator Bill Brady from Central Illinois as the top Republican in the Illinois Senate. I want to get into a little more policy a little later, but I'm guessing a lot of people listening now might be hearing you for the first time. I want to get into your background a little bit. You've been in office since 2016. What drew you to run for the state legislature?
Well, I'll admit this is something that I never suspected, never thought of doing. Actually what drew me in was, I had a state representative in my area that I just didn't feel like represented me or some of the other folks who lived in our area. And as a result, I decided to, run for office. And that was at the state house level. Very interestingly, the day I announced, the person I was going to run against decided to bow out. So I ran against another person for 3 weeks before the incumbent state senator at the time gave me a call, actually while I was on vacation in Europe, and said, hey, you know what? I've decided not to run again for office. Why don't you run for my seat? And so it really was in response to an observation from me that I didn't feel like my, elected officials here locally were really representing kind of me and, and other people that I knew. And, you know, and that's really what, you know, democracy is about, right? You know, you have the opportunity to vote for or elect people that you think represent you well. And if you don't believe that they're doing that, you have the opportunity to get in there and do it yourself. That's what I did.
You know, one other thing that if we're also on the radio, but if people could see you, they would see you use a wheelchair to get around as well. And I wonder if you're comfortable talking about how that came to be.
Sure. So it was back in 2007. I was actually riding on a motorcycle. I was going through an intersection in a town in my area when a car came into my lane and pushed me into oncoming traffic. Interestingly enough, I don't remember the accident at all. You know, whatever, you know, the drugs the first responders gave to me at the time wiped my short-term memory. So I remember up until about 5 minutes before the accident. It was a beautiful Friday afternoon in June and, you know, just really enjoying the weather. And the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in an ICU at a level one trauma center and finding out that I have a spinal cord injury and I have no use of my legs at all and never will. And so, you know, that is, it's jarring, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, to, you don't really expect that. You don't think about it. And to have it, you know, you obviously hear about it happening to other people, but you wake up one day and find out that it's happened to you. You know, you have a big decision to make at that point. And at that point, my decision was, you know, I served in the infantry and with the Army National Guard for 9 years. And one of the things that was kind of our motto was, you know, adapt and overcome. And that's what I did. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
You know, I was struck with a particular bill that came up a couple of years ago. And I think this is one of the first times I sort of, it caught my ears because I was curious about the path this bill took. This allowed, and it's kind of a minor thing, but it allowed certain people on the SNAP program, this used to be called food stamps, this is the government nutrition assistance program, to use their benefit for prepared meals rather than just groceries. Mm-hmm. And it was meant for people who were either homeless or over age 60 or were disabled. And when the legislation went through the Illinois House, 18 Republicans voted against it. Comes over to the Senate, and you spoke out in favor of it. And you said, as someone who is disabled, there are lots of times I'm unable to prepare my own food because a kitchen is not accessible. And in the Senate, only one Republican voted against the legislation, which has since become law. Now, one caucus turning thumbs down on a bill while the other approves it, you know, happens for all kinds of reasons. But I wonder if you see your presence in the Capitol influencing how your colleagues think about issues, especially as they pertain to people with disabilities.
Yeah, definitely that is the case. You know, I'll admit, you know, prior to me ending up in a wheelchair, I did not have a good understanding of what people with disabilities go through, right? I mean, it really does take something either happening to you or someone you love or someone you know well to really have some idea. You know, I recently spoke to a gentleman in my area who came up to me and we've known each other for years and his wife has recently passed away, but before she died, she was forced to use a wheelchair. And he came up to me and he said, you know, even though we've been friends and I've seen you in your chair, I didn't understand what it was that you go through until I was trying to help my wife, you know, in and out of stores, in and out of doctor's offices and things like that, and just realize kind of the level of barriers that there are out there. And so absolutely it is the case. And this is part of the reason why I love democracy so much, right? Is because again, you have this plethora of different voices, people from different perspectives, whether they be ethnic or situational, men and women, you know, they're coming from their different backgrounds that are bringing these, you know, kind of their own life experiences to the table. And that really helps us in the policymaking process to be much more robust in making sure that we don't leave anybody behind.
You know, and I've got to say, I noticed that the infrastructure around the Capitol, and I don't know how much of this, you know, goes to your presence, but like they redid the parking lot where the accessible parking spots are so that it's not as filled with potholes anymore. You know, there's a hearing room that now has a ramp in it. So you seem to be having a physical, effect on increasing accessibility around the entire complex.
Yeah, it, I mean, it's definitely the case when you have a building as old as the Capitol, you're going to have, you know, aspects to it that are not accessible. You know, it's been, you know, and there are still improvements yet to be made, you know, and that's, I think, the real benefit to being in this job is you always, you get to meet people from all different walks of life, carry their perspectives down to Springfield, and really help us to continue the process that we're always going to be going through, right? Nothing in this world is perfect. There's always something that can be improved, made better. And that is something that I'm really, you know, just pleased to be able to be a part of.
You know, we need to take a break here on the show. Can I ask, can you stick around for a few more minutes with us after
sure.
the break?
Yeah,
great.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I want to open the phones, listeners, if you have a question for Senate Republican leader Dan McConkie. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I'm Brian Mackey. This is the 21st. We're speaking, as I just said, with the Illinois Senate Republicans' new leader, Dan McConkie. He's from Hawthorne Woods in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. This conversation is going to continue after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. I'm speaking with the new minority leader in the Illinois State Senate, Senator Dan McConkie. He's a Republican from Hawthorne Woods in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number. I want to talk now about politics more broadly, and I'm going to start with a basic question. Who won the 2020 presidential election?
I believe that Joe Biden did win that.
And do you think it was a free and fair election?
Well, there's always problems in the election, but I do not believe that the issues that were out there were enough that would have elected anybody other than Joe Biden to
okay.
the presidency.
Okay, it's one of those sort of threshold questions that. You know, it has become sort of surprising that we have to ask this nowadays. But, you know, we're seeing this struggle going on for the future of what the National Republican Party will be following President Trump's model or returning to a more, I don't know what you'd call it, a traditional mainstream approach. And I mean, we've seen a similar fight in Illinois Republican politics going back at least to 2004. You know, should Republicans be more moderate and independent on social issues, reach across the aisle to voters who, you know, who are more swingy on those issues? Or is the answer to nominate candidates who are more fully committed to the party platform? Where do you think the Illinois Republican Party needs to go?
Well, I think it's less an issue of ideology and actually more of listening to what it is that the voters, you know, want. So we're in a state where, you know, Hillary Clinton won by 16.8 points 4 years ago. Joe Biden won, the last time I checked, it was around 13.5 points. For the Illinois Republican Party to be relevant, we need to not wait around for a Republican at the national level to have coattails long enough that reaches down and helps pull us across the finish line, right? We need to differentiate ourselves in a manner that the voters are interested in doing and really get to those split ticket voters again. And the interesting thing in my discussions with voters and so forth, and in watching this past election, you know, I found it fascinating that there was such a resounding rejection of Governor Pritzker's progressive income tax as his way of being able to balance the budget, which was to grant even greater powers to Springfield to tax. And instead, you know, people showed a path. They're like, look, we don't trust Springfield anymore. We're looking for something different. We send money down there to you. We want you to live within your means. And yet at the end of the day, there was almost no change in the General Assembly's makeup between Republican and Democrat, even though this was what Democrats, a supermajority of Democrats voted to put onto the ballot. And so that told me that what we need to do as a party is get out there and really tap into why voters were fundamentally rejecting the governor's key solution for the state of Illinois, and instead begin really talking their talk, because they're, in my opinion, they're waiting for us to come and present a value proposition that they're willing to embrace.
You mentioned they're supermajority Democrats, and that's been the case for most of the last decade in both the House and the Senate. What role is there for Republicans in governing Illinois, short of trying to get a map that allows for more favorable elections? And we've seen, even with maps drawn by Republicans, at least on the House side, Democrats were able to still maintain majorities most of the time. So what role is there for Republicans in this Democratic majority state?
Well, look, we have ideas that really need to be, at the table. And, you know, one of the things that I'm a student of history, and I really enjoy reading about what's happened in various states over the years. And one of the interesting things that I've realized is that whenever you have one party rule for as long as, you know, we have, there are lots of good policies that just simply don't end up coming out and coming to the fore. And here's one of the things that I think is behoove of the General Assembly to kind of, now that Speaker Madigan has moved on, now, you know, we have a new president, who's only been around for just a year in the Senate. I think it is high time for us to fundamentally change the rules that govern both legislative chambers, because we're kind of the most anti-democratic, small d, in the manner in which our legislative chamber is run. In most states, you have the ability of individual members to be able to take popular ideas, go out there, drum up support, and even if a committee chairman or the head of that chamber doesn't like it, there are still tools that are within the toolbox of individual legislators to take good ideas and get them out there. We don't have any of those, and we really need to do that. I filed an amendment to the rules that have been introduced, that have been approved in the Senate, that have 8 different proposals, things that would require bills to be assigned to committee, methods through which to be able to require that they have a hearing, get an up or down vote, come out on the floor. When you can get that kind of support, that's the type of thing I think voters are looking for, is actually their state legislators being empowered to step up and be able to represent them and not be simply at the whim of the Speaker or the Senate President.
I want to end our conversation with a question that I plan to revisit with elected officials throughout this year. And it's more of a big picture question. And that is, what is politics for? What, in your view, is the purpose of politics?
So the purpose of politics is to allow us to resolve our differences in a constructive manner that doesn't resort to what we saw back on January 6th, right? I mean, that is what it is that we're trying to avoid. And democracy has been the best mechanism in order to avoid totalitarianism on the one hand or chaos on the other. And so a well-functioning democratic system helps us resolve our differences without it being destructive, either to individuals or to society as a whole. That's why I'm in it. That's why I embrace it. And that's why I think we all, despite the events of the last few weeks and months and years, really need to embrace politics. Because if we get our politics wrong, frankly, nothing else matters.
Senator Dan McConkie is a Republican from Hawthorne Woods. He was recently elected to be the Senate Minority Leader. That is the top Republican in the Illinois State Senate. Leader McConkie, thank you for your time. Thanks for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.